Blog Talk Radio.
Deliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be with you for the next hour or so. So if you would, go ahead and get a pen and paper so you can take some notes, and any comments that you might have at the end of the ministry, we'll open up the mics so that you can participate fully in the ministry for tonight. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll go before the Lord. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit, that healing and deliverance break forth in this time, in this place, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me now. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and our minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. May we now wake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Speak to our lives and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, beloved, today we want to get into the part two of the right intent gets the right results. We're basing this on the power of words, because we have been given the ability by God to rule our lives by what we say. But what we say is also going to be governed by how we think. According to Proverbs chapter 7, verse 23, verse 7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So then my thoughts will give way to my words, and my words will give way to my actions. And my actions should please my Father. But a lot of times, we have allowed our words to be contrary to God. Therefore, our actions are going to be contrary to God, and we don't get to enjoy the thing that he's created us for. That's one of the things, I guess, that maybe we just don't get it. We don't actually understand why we were created or why the favor of God has been issued to us, because he always causes us to triumph. He gives us the victory. See, he's put us in a position where winning should be normal. But a lot of times, even since Adam, we had questions, and those questions did not bring any results. See, the right intent will get the right results. If I'm asking questions based in fear or based in doubt, then I'm never going to get to my destination. I might end up in my frustration. I might live in my frustration, but I will not be moved along until my destination. See, I'll be stalled. I'll be halt between two opinions. And it's an interesting question that's asked of God. He said, how long will you be halt between two opinions? He didn't say, how long am I going to keep you there? The whole thing is really up to us. See, because whatever we bind is bound, whatever we loose is loose. See, these are spiritual principles that we've got to really grasp and decide and purpose in our hearts that we're going to walk in them. There are steps that are preordained that we should walk in. See? As we grow up, interesting thing, as you grow up, knowledge should increase. That's what happened in Jesus' life. He increased in wisdom and stature. So then the elementary questions that you had in the beginning, you should not still be pondering those questions in your heart. You should have gotten to the place where that answer is understood and now lived out by you. Okay? We should not be trying to get God to do something he's already said is finished. I mean, I make this analogy a lot. If someone came to your house and they knew everything about you and they prepared your most favorite meal and set it before you, it would be kind of dumb for you to come into the house, smell the aroma of what you know is your best meal, and then ask, can I go in the kitchen and cook? I mean, everything that you already like and already need has been prepared for you by the one who loves you. And you come in and you say, I'm hungry. I'm going to go cook me something to eat. That would be the same mindset that we do with God when he's given us the ability to hear his word and walk in the truth. See, because if you hear the word but don't do it, the Bible says you are a prime time subject, a prime time suspect for being one that walks in deception. You're setting yourself up for defeat. See? And that's just not good. It's definitely not God, because God has already given you the victory. See? So we need to address things from a different perspective. And I do understand that some of the training that you live in today was the training that you received yesterday. But it would be wise if you would have your mind renewed so that you can then enjoy the blessings of God. See, God is not the one withholding, according to Psalms 84:11, he's not withholding anything from those that would walk uprightly. Please hear your part. Your part is to walk uprightly. Just from that statement, it doesn't sound like he wants me to be wallowing around on the ground begging. He told me to walk uprightly. Amen. You know, ooh, that's true. When you are moping around, wallowing on the ground, your expectation is low. But when you walk uprightly, your expectation has also been elevated. Not only has your expectation been elevated, your sight has been elevated. He gave you the power to see above circumstances and situations. David in Psalms 27 said, now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. I'm going to see things that my enemies will look at in amazement. Did he not promise that he would prepare a table before you in the very presence of your enemies? He wants to show himself strong in your behalf. He wants to show out so that people will know that you are called by the name of the Lord. He's so wanting to do that for you. He wants to give you a testimony so that when you open your mouth, this is what he said, if you would open your mouth, he would fill it with praise. Thanksgiving would be an automatic thing if he can get you to walk uprightly. I do know and understand that we're walking in perilous times, but we don't have to be affected by the perilous times. Don't you remember that we are in the world, but not of the world? See? He has given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's not trying to withhold from you the things that belong to life. He's not trying to withhold from you that which would cause godliness to be in your heart, in your mind, in your mouth, in your life. He's wanting us to begin to connect the dots correctly. And he gave us his word so that we can see line upon line, precept upon precept. He's given this to us so that we would not be ignorant concerning spiritual things. So if he does not want us to be ignorant concerning spiritual things, that takes us out of the realm of always living in the flesh, living in fear, living in frustration. Those are all fleshy things. He wants us to be cognizant of spiritual things, because the spirit gives answers to the flesh. I hope y'all are understanding this. The spirit gives answers to the flesh. The flesh demands answers, and then the flesh will try to get the answers from flesh, which is weak, which is failing. But God wants us to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. See, we don't have to go to Google to get an answer. Here is what the scripture says in the book of James chapter 1. It says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and he's not mad because you ask. But let the man have conversations. Let him ask in faith. Don't let the man ask because he's frustrated. Don't let the man ask because he's fearful. See, the right intent will get the right results. There is over 750 times in the Bible when he said, fear not. So he doesn't need us, doesn't want us asking questions based in our fears. See? He's wanting us to ask questions in faith so that we can receive. That's true, sir. So that we can receive an answer by faith. From faith. Have you ever had a question that you were asking God, but as you were asking the question, you had an answer, a path of the answer that you had already worked out, that the answer has to come this way, not to hire you, even though you walked into the office, filled out the application, and when you walked into the office, you walked in the grace of God. But now you're going to say, they're not going to hire me. Well, what happened to you walking by the faith that the grace invited you into? See, when you walk uprightly, you can see clearly. But when you are wallowing around in your despair, then you don't see, your expectation is low. See, these are things that we're going to have to, in the dispensation that you are living in, beloved, there are going to be things that are going to come up on the earth. The Bible says that when these things come, men's hearts are going to fail them because of the things that come upon the earth. Oh, please get that. It said that men's hearts would fail them because of the things that are coming upon the earth. He didn't say that to create fear in our hearts. He said that so that we would have our hearts settled, then we don't have to worry about the things that are coming upon the earth. I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. I really don't care what comes upon the earth. Amen. Psalms 91 says that a pestilence will kill 1,000 on one hand, 10,000 on the other, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling. Only with my eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked. See, it didn't say I'll have to go through that. It says that men's heart would fail them. Okay, let's try it this way. He didn't say my children's heart would fail them. He said men's heart would fail them because of what's coming on the earth. When he told Joshua that he was going to end up leading the children into the promised land, he told him not to be fearful. He said, be strong and be very courageous. Because every place that the soles of your feet would tread, I have given it to you. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. There shall not be any man able to stand before you all the days of your life. Only be thou strong and be thou very courageous. I mean, see, he's already giving you the answer. Please. He's given you the answer before the trial, before the attack. He's no respecter person. If he set it up like that for Joshua, and he told Joshua, before the battle started, I have already given you every place the soles of your feet shall tread. I will be with you. I will help you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. Before the battle started. See, God makes promise so that the promise will guide you. God made promise so that the promise will settle you, so that the promise will strengthen you. But the devil comes to steal away the word that was sown in your heart, to cause the word to be of none effect, to be unprofitable, unfruitful. See, because when you give up on the word, you give up on the promise. When you give up on the promise, you give up on the victory. See, God is asking us, you know, whose report are you going to believe? He's asking us. He knows that there are other conversations that are going on. But the Bible tells us that his truth endureth. I mean, please, come on, y'all. His truth endures. That means no matter what the trials bring, his truth endures. It does not fade. I mean, these are the things that we've got to know. Okay? It does not give up. The word of God is working even when we don't see it. Even when we have a hard time believing it. The word is already working the thing out. There are five questions that most people ask in life. And those five questions are who, what, where, why, and when. And then because we don't get the proper answers in our understanding of those five, we even throw another one in there, and that was how. You know, I found out that the how is not even my issue? As I believe God, this is what it says, he will work, we know. It didn't say, and we are guessing. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them, to those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. It didn't say we guess. It didn't say we hope. It didn't say we need to. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God. And the way that God measures love, Jesus said, if you love me, you would keep my commandments. If you love me, you will maintain my word. So then I walk in the word. When I walk in the word will direct me. That's what it says. Psalms 119:107 says, the word is a lamp. It is a light to my path. It is a lamp to my feet. See? So when I hold onto the word, he illuminates my path, those steps that are preordained that I should walk in. See, the right intent gets the right results. The who, what, why, and when, that's not the most important things for me to have an understanding of in synchronization. In fact, I can resolve all of the what, where, why, and when I understand the who. Amen. Because when I understand who is the one directing me, I can follow his direction. When I understand who is attacking me, I can resist him. See? We get information a lot of times, and we didn't get the information at the mouth of God. We got information that was common to man. And God did not make me common. Grass is common. And the Bible says that I am a tree, the planting of the Lord. Trees are in a predominant place. They are not common. Grass is everywhere. Trees are in specific places and have a specific purpose. See? So because I'm not common, I am a tree, the planting of the Lord. So then I was meant to function in a predominant place. I was meant to function above common, just so that you can get that. I was meant to enjoy, wow. I was meant to enjoy the first fruits. Because when the sun comes down to the earth, it goes through trees to get to the earth. The rain that comes down goes through trees to get to the earth. In order of hierarchy, if you would. So I'm in a place where I should be, as it says in Psalms, Isaiah 54, I should be those that have undisturbed composure. Those that are taught of the Lord, they are going to have undisturbed composure. They're going to have great peace. Just thinking about the grass, I remember walking, God had me walking in the evening, running in the morning, and I remember the experience that he gave me, and it was getting close to fall time had already came, and the leaves of the trees were coming off and falling on the ground. And I was thinking about that lake, that clear lake that was in Revelation. And I said, okay, God, so everything in the spirit realm is going to be a thing that is alive. And he says, yes, trees and the leaves of the trees are not just for to denote that there is a season change. He said the leaves on the tree. I mean, when you look at that, it just blows my mind. It says that there was a river, and on both sides of the river was the tree of life. I didn't even know how to do that. The river was on both sides of the river was the tree. Okay. Just so that you can see that, just turn over there. Revelation, I think it's 22. Let's just look at it. I mean, it's just God does things differently. If we would just get that and understand that. Revelation chapter 23 in Revelation. This is what I was thinking about while I was just walking that time. And it says, verse 1, he showed me a pure river of, I mean, y'all, look at this. He showed me a pure river of water of life. A pure river of water of life. Before, we were dealing with the tree of life. He's going to bring that up again. But what's interesting is that the river supplied the life that was in the tree. Amen. The flow that God wants to have in your life, the flow that he wants you to enjoy, see? Show me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side, wow, y'all, I'm just looking at the words that I see. He showed him a river, and in the midst of the path or the street of that river, there was, looking at what I'm seeing here, there was substance, solid substance in the midst of a river. In the midst of this river was a street, a passage that was solid in the middle of the river. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. It said the, didn't say two trees. A tree that was so formed that it went to both sides of the river, still being the tree. I mean, you know, it's just, we've got to look at some of these things and stand in awe of how God does it. I mean, he's going to supply both sides of the river with the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. So I'm asking about this river, and he said everything in heaven is alive to the point that leaves that fall off the tree are not going to supply death. They're not going to perpetuate death. They're going to perpetuate life through healing. So then I started thinking, I said, wow, so then all of these leaves that I see on the ground here, that's not the way it is. That's not the picture of heaven. He said, no, because they have life in them. The breath of life is what they function through. So let everything that has breath praise. And if the ground itself has life, then how could the ground that would be covered up with leaves praise? These were questions that I was just hearing and getting the answer to. That's why the leaves didn't fall, because it was to denote the change of a season. They only released healing from the tree of life. And it was for nations. Glory to God. See? These are things that we've got to, again, when we understand the who, then the what, when, where, why, piece of cake. This is God that we're talking about. See? And he does things on a grander scale than my mind could even think. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can dare to think, according to the power that works in you. So then, if the power is not working in you, you limit his ability to do the exceeding. If the power that's in you is power to question, then you don't give him the power to answer or to do. He's wanting you to know him. He's wanting you to experience him on a greater dimension. See, the ones that are hungry and the ones that are thirsty, they are the ones that's going to get filled. But if I'm just going to be one that observes, come on now, come on, come on. He did not give any promise to those that observe. He gave promise to those that are hungry. If you want to be filled, you're going to have to be hungry and thirsty. If you want to observe, if you just want to be a spectator, then your provision was not a promise. Because we're required to express the belief in God by actions that correspond with what we believe. If I have no corresponding actions, the book of James tells me that that faith is dead, being alone. The only one that knows about that faith is the confession that you made that was half true. Because you did not appropriate the promise, you just tried to say the promise. By saying it, maybe you can convince yourself that you believe it. No, when you believe it, you move by it. You live by it. The what, where, why, and when, this line of inquisition seems to be good for mystery writing, discoveries in crime, business applications such as marketing and product procurement. But in the matters of the spirit, things with eternal value, the answers for what, why, and when are all resolved in the who. Who is the most important and wellspring of the flow that we need for purpose? Who has purpose? Who has salvation? Who has fellowship? Who has evangelism? Who has life? All of those answers would come from him, which is very interesting because the H is the second letter of each of those W questions. Who? WH. WH. Where? WH. Why? WH. When? WH. So then the H response is what I want to talk about. Okay? The H response is the him. Because in Daniel chapter 11, this is where we stopped last time, Daniel chapter 11, 32 says, those that know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. Those that know their God. See, it didn't say those that question their God. It says those that know. The word know there is the word for intimacy. We use it in the connotation of an Adam knew his wife. That's intimacy. The first time Adam saw his wife, he asked the question, is this for me? And then he responded saying, wow, she's bone of my bone. Flesh of my flesh. Then when Adam became intimate with Eve, there were spiritual things that happened in sexual union and intimacy. There was an exchange that took place. that a question that I had in my heart was now met by the exchange of love from someone that God made for me. That's why it's not such a good thing to be just practicing fornication, because when you practice fornication, you're not trying to get the one God has made for you. You're trying to get the one that you think you might want. Amen. Okay? If you get to ask of God, then you can't get answers in the spirit. If you don't ask of God, then you will get answers in the fact best is weak. At best, the flesh, the answers that come from the flesh will be fleeting answers. But flesh is not what's supposed to resolve the issues of your life, because the spirit, which the word which is by the spirit, lives and abides forever. So you don't have to deal with things on a temporary basis. And we've been trained to look from the position of the temporary, because the flesh is temporary. Here's some proof right quick. Everybody can do this and prove that flesh is temporary. Go to your yearbook and find yourself in the yearbook and hold that picture up in the mirror and then look at yourself next to that picture, and you will see that flesh is very fleeting. All of the taut skin and sharp eye focus, it might not be there today. Even 1 year later, it's a difference. Amen. Because flesh is fleeting, or we can do it better, flesh is dying day by day. Amen. Okay? So then why should we try to get our answers from something that's fleeting, something that's weak? We need to dig deeper here. The H response of all of those W questions. So he told us that they that know their God will be strong, they will do exploits. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, if you continue in my word, then are you disciplined, my disciples, in what you do, and you will be intimate with the truth. There that word is again, you will know the truth. You will be intimate with the truth, and the truth that you are intimate with will cause liberty. It will cause freedom. Okay, let's dig into that. He didn't say, if you continue in questions, you'll know the truth. Amen. He said, if you continue in my word. His word is not just for questions. His word produces answers and results. God said, let there be, and there was results. See, so then when I go to the word, I have the expectation of results. See, even in the picture of the Ten Commandments, it was the statement that came out all the time, so let it be written, so let it be done. Because the word is supposed to produce results. The word is not supposed to produce questions. And when you go to the word and all you come away with is questions, then you entered into the study of the word with those questions in your heart. And those questions in your heart are what you're going to live by. Rather than living by the word and the answer of the word, you're going to live by the questions that you took to the party. So I don't have a problem with you asking of God. Let's look at how he said it. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraid not, but let the man ask in faith. You don't ask out of necessity. You don't ask out of demand. You ask out of faith. And how do you do that? You can look up this one, and it'll say, the heavens declare, they declare the goodness of the Lord. The heavens declare that. It didn't say the heavens make you ask about a thing. Did you get that? See, that's why the word brings declarations into my life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was not a question. That's a declaration. He's made me more than a conqueror. That's not a question. That's a declaration. Blessed be the Lord that daily loads me down with benefits. That's not a question. That's a declaration. I am the Lord thy God who healeth thee. That's not a question. That's a declaration. I am the light of the world. That's not a question. That's a declaration. See? So I go to the Word and I become intimate with the Word and I let the intimacy produce faith and then I release the faith by saying the declaration that the Word just exposed to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was not a question. That was a declaration. He's made me the head and not the tail. That was not a question. I mean, do you see how you go to the Word and faith should arise? Isn't that what it said? Let God arise and then his enemies would be scattered. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. See? We go to the Word, and the questions of our heart are going to be answered by the declaration of the Word. For he sent his Word to heal us and to deliver us out of all of our fears and destruction. The purpose of the Word is to strengthen me. I can do things that are necessary in the Spirit through Christ who strengthens me. So you should never leave the Word with questions. If you are going to continue in the Word, that Word will strengthen you. The right intent gets the right results. Okay? But if I'm going to go to the Word and try to demand of God that I haven't read the Word, I haven't become intimate with the Word, because the Word provides answers. See? It takes one who was in darkness and it causes him to walk in the marvelous light. Okay, come on, come on, come on. I was in darkness and the Bible says I was stumbling. But when I come to the light, now I can walk. Glory to God. I have a guaranteed destination now, don't I? That's what walking gives you. Walking brings you to a guaranteed destination. Crawling, stumbling does not get you to your destination. See, the who is going to resolve purpose and salvation, fellowship, evangelism, and life. In John chapter 15, well, I'm going to back up. Go to John chapter 14, and we'll go into chapter 15. Okay? Is this going to show? Because I found that your belief has a life. Your belief makes room for you. And you can live in your belief, and that will cause you to move closer because now you can abide and continue in his word. Watch this. John chapter 14 and following. Just going to go all the way to 15. This is Jesus when he was talking to his disciples. And he was preparing them to live life that was given by his presence when his presence was no longer experienced in the natural. I'm trying to say what I hear. See, there's going to be some words that you're going to hear that he's going to expect you to execute, walk out, when he's not there in the natural, when you can't feel him. It's not a good thing to be trying to feel him anyway, but okay. You're going to have to believe. Watch what this says. Jesus says in verse 1 of chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. And he's going to connect everything in this chapter to this phrase, believe in God, believe in me. So then we see right quick in the first chapter, this first verse of this chapter, that he's asking your heart to be established and not troubled, and it has to be established by believing. 2 Chronicles 20, it says that believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe its prophets, and you shall prosper. So how is God going to establish you? Because you believe his prophets. Because you believe in him, you're going to be established. Your prosperity comes, your growth comes, your growth, which is necessary, comes because you believe his prophets. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? That where I am, you may be also. Notice he connected your belief in God and your belief in him for your transition. Did you see that? He said, believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. But were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That the things that I believe, you will believe also. Because I'm going to say further in this that I'm the way to cause your belief to be made manifest. And then whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Then Thomas said, what you talking about, Jesus? I don't know whether you go. I don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. This journey cannot happen and get to the Father except you come through the way, the truth, the life. How do you make these steps? Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe in me. Jesus was an Old Testament prophet. And in order to make the move from where they were to where they're supposed to, where they're called, you have to go in the area of your belief. You're going to have to look at this, look at this, look at this. You're going to have to believe and live in the belief so that the belief will give you an opportunity to move and to walk. There can be no action if the belief that is not where you live. Did you please see that? That where I am, you may be also. Okay? It's connected to your belief. So then we can say that the life that you are existing in right now, you believed for it. Amen. Out of the heart comes the issues of life. So wherever you find yourself in life now, you believed to get there. That's not a bad statement, because if you don't like where you are, not a problem. Believe to get out. Find his word and your exit plan in the word. That where he is, you may be also. I mean, just so that you can kind of see that he's always made it contingent upon what you believe. So then your life is a direct byproduct of what you believed for. You can repent. If you don't like it, you can repent. You can have your mind renewed. Because as you have your, come on, y'all, let's look at what he says. As you have your mind renewed, there is a transformation, a recreation. And, you know, the same word, recreation and recreation is the same word. So that you can have recreation, rest unto your souls, if you would change your belief. Amen. The Bible says about Jesus that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, or he's in a position of rest. So then you can be seated. You have been called into the place where you are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Far above all principalities, might, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world which is to come. You've been made to sit there. You've been called to that place. Okay? This is what he wants us to do. The right intent gets the right results. God looks at the intent of the heart. So then if you're going after the word of God with frustration, then you're going to continue to get what you sow. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, then you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting, because you went to God by a live and living word. And so that live and living word causes you to be able to partake of the life in the Spirit. I mean, do you get that? And I'm making it plain for you to follow and track. See, I'm not trying to just blow smoke and make pretty words together. I'm trying to give you a concrete path that you can walk on, that you can leave whatever doldrums and frustrations that you have experienced, you can leave them now, and you can enter into life. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So did he want you to participate in truth? He has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in truth. He wants you to participate in the way. He wants you to participate in the life. And Jesus goes on. If you had known me, verse 7, then you should know my Father also. And from henceforth you shall know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto the Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be good enough. And Jesus said, wow, have I been so long a time with you, and yet you have not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. He that has seen me has seen the way to the Father. He that has seen me has seen the life of the Father. And then how are you going to ask me? I haven't seen the Father. Do you believe that I am? Again, he's attaching this whole thing to your belief, isn't it? He's attaching your ability to move by what you believe. Because in order to get to the Father, which is at a different place, if you would, no man can get to the Father. So in order to get to the Father, in order to get to the next level, you're going to have to go through Jesus' path that he's made, and that path is going to require you to believe. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father, the Father in me? That the words, now he just connected your whole belief structure to the words that were spoken. Come on now. Notice he's growing Philip up. The words that I spoke to you, they are words that will take you to the Father. Look at it. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he is doing the works. So believe in the word so that you can get to the Father. The words, end result, is to get you to thinking about the Father, so that I can move you by my words to the place where you're seen as God has ordained for you to think. Believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe the works' sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works shall he do, because I go to the Father. So then, let's look at some of the works from the position of the belief avenue to the answered prayer. Not the manifestation because you got the stuff. The belief avenue. Jesus said, he that does what? Believeth on me. The works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I told you I and the Father are one. I mean, do you see the connection? It is me believing that opens the door to the greater works, not me quoting that I'm going to do greater works. He that believeth. I love the phrase there. It didn't say that he who has believed. It says he that believeth. That's active, very present, isn't it? Perfect present tense. He'll do greater works because I go to the Father. And then another part of the greater potential that's in you that's going to be released. And verse 13, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. Glory to God. You're going to do greater works and whatever that you ask in my name because you are connected to the belief connection of to do greater. That greater would be whatsoever. I mean, I love the way Jesus talks. He did not put a limit on it right there, did he? He left it to be open-ended. Whatsoever. When he introduced himself to the children of Israel, he introduced himself as I am. He starts the thing off in an unlimited process. He brings us back to this point. Whatsoever. Limits go. Okay? He does not want you to function in life with all the answers whatsoever. Come on, y'all. That sounds like anything you can think of, the answer is right here. The pathway that you should walk in is right here. I am that I am. I'm going to allow you to do all things because they're all possible to you if you would believe. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And where is the Son? In you. Positioned in a heart that believes God and believes Jesus. So then, since I believe God and believe Jesus, all things now are possible unto me who believes. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, let me make sure I get you to understand how I quantify love. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will look at them not as suggestions, not as moral platitudes, but as commandments. If you keep my commandments, know this is what I'm going to be doing. For those that would keep commandments, I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, and he shall abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth in the world cannot receive because it has not seen him. Now, this is one of the things that we should know. See, the world is still looking for an answer to the what, where, why, and when. But Jesus said, it's not going to come that way. I'm going to allow you to enter to the Father by truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to allow you to move as you get to the Father because you are accustomed to walking in truth. You are accustomed to seeking truth. But the world is not interested. See, whoa, there it is, a big one. The world is not interested in truth. They're just interested in results. They're interested. Whoa, okay, this is the way to say it. They're not interested in truth. They're interested in proof. Hallelujah. Jesus did not say, and the proof will make you free. He said, and the truth will cause your freedom. Because the devil can prove a thing by eyesight and it not be accurate at all. Come on, you know that already. See, but Jesus wants you to be hungry and thirsty for truth. Because if you continue in my word, then are you intimate with the truth. And the truth that you are intimate with will cause your liberty. I will not, even the Spirit of truth, 17, which the world cannot receive because it does not see him. See, the Spirit of truth cannot be received because they don't have the proof. They put the proof in front of the truth. Have you done that? Put the proof in front of the truth that you would say things like, God can't love me because of this, that, or the other. Because if God loved me, I wouldn't be going through this. You put proof in front of truth. God said he loved you. That's the truth. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. That's the truth. You cannot dismiss the truth because of a proof that you don't understand. The world cannot receive him because they can't see him. Or they don't even know him. They're not intimate with him. But you do know him because he dwells in you and shall perpetually be with you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless in this situation of not knowing who. When you know who, the what, when, and where, taken care of. A little while, the world sees me no more, because I go to the Father. But you shall see me, and you shall live also. And that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Love, then, because of my obedience, because of my actions that correspond with my confession, my actions now get me to the place where his entering back into my life to do things is a whole lot different. I will manifest himself, myself to you. I will love him. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Glory to God. Look at those promises. It says that if I keep his commandments, I love God, and I will be loved of God. He's going to do some loving. God's going to love me. And then Jesus is going to love me. And then Jesus is going to come and visit me. Hallelujah. And then Judas, who didn't get it because he was not keeping the commandment, he was keeping the bag, but he wasn't keeping the commandment. Come on now. He was keeping Jesus' stuff, but he wasn't keeping Jesus. Come on. How many of us have been guilty of that? We want Jesus' stuff, but we don't want Jesus. Okay. So if you're going to be the person that wants the stuff, then you're not going to keep the commandments, and then the Father will not love you the way he wanted to. And you won't see Jesus. And Jesus said again, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, did you notice this? I mean, come on, look at how this is growing, multiplying. First time Jesus said it, it says, I will manifest myself to him. But it said, if you keep his words, then my Father will love them, and we will come unto him. And we will make our abode with him. Oh, glory to God. He that loveth me not, keep not my saying. The world which ye hear, the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken, being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world giveth I. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Kick into the belief system that I just explained to you. Again, and if you've heard how I said unto you, I go away and I come again. If you love me, you will rejoice because I said I go to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And I have told you before it comes to pass that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not walk with you, but for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so do I. Then he says, arise, let us go hence. He's about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. See? So then, now let's listen at what he's continuing to tell us as he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, as he's preparing us for living in this life without having the manifest presence the same as it was before. Then he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit. Okay, so then he's asking you that through the belief there should be evidence. Is that correct? The evidence is going to be manifest in love. It's not going to be manifest by stuff. You will get the stuff, because if you love him, you'll keep his commandments. And then when you keep his commandments, the Father is going to come. Okay, all right, let's do it this way. He said the Father and Jesus will come, and they will make his abode. Just as I can just see this. If I have what is referred to as a permanent visitor, okay, God, when he comes in, he wants to set up permanent residence, right? Do you not think that permanent residence gives him the right to rearrange the furniture? Amen. What do you mean? Well, he's going to make sure that the furniture that he's accustomed to sitting on, a comfort that you have never experienced before, will now be something that you experience on a routine basis. You know that they're saying that when you go to Sheets and you have a 600 and 800 and 1,000 count sheet, that the sheet is softer. Well, what do you think the furniture of heaven is? Amen. And he's going to come in and make his abode there. He's going to take up permanent residence there. And then if you will allow him, he will change the taste of your furniture. I mean, do you get that? If I had unlimited resource and I decided that I'm going to live in your house, I'm probably going to utilize my unlimited resources to bless you. So then you're going to quickly find yourself sitting in comfort that you never thought of, out of this world comfort. See? And I'm not saying that so that you can go get the best of. I'm saying God is going to bring the best because he's going to live there. All right, I'll do this one. When Jesus was born, he didn't live in the manger. Amen. He started off this dissertation by saying, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And he didn't describe them as a shack. He described them as a mansion. And now he's going to take up his abode in you. And if you let him clean you up, then your taste will become grandly more expensive. Not for lust's sake, but for honor's sake. You remember when Obed-Edom, they were taking the ark. David was taking the ark back to Jerusalem. And they were walking back, and the oxen stumbled, and it looked like the ark was going to fall. And Uzzah grabbed the ark, and when he touched the ark, God killed him. And so they turned aside, and they didn't take the ark back to Jerusalem. They took the ark, and they put it in the house of Obed-Edom. They put it in the house of Obed-Edom. All God did was lived in Obed-Edom's house for a while. And this is what it says about what happened when God came to Obed-Edom's house. It said that everything that appertained to Obed-Edom, God caused it to prosper. You see that? God caused it to prosper. And so that means that if Obed-Edom, his fruit grew better. All right? He didn't eat stuff that everybody else ate because it was just there. See? He ate because God was the one that was prospering him. So he ate out of the, if you would, he ate out of the prosperity of God. See? He didn't eat out of his own provision. Come on, y'all. Look at these things. They put these things in the Bible so that you can get it and understand it. When David came back after Jonathan and Saul was dead, he came back and he said, is there anybody that I can show mercy to? And he said, Jonathan had a son, and Mephibosheth, and he said he was lame in his feet. And then David said, well, from now on, he's going to eat at the king's table. He's going to sup with me. I'm the king. And since I'm trying to show my love and kindness toward the family of Jonathan, toward the family of Saul, then he's going to eat what I eat. He don't have to worry about going out and getting no food no more. He eats because the king is there. So then when God makes his abode with you, then you're going to eat out of his provision, no longer out of your provision. Glory to God. This is what he's inviting us to. See? That's what you got to begin to think from a different perspective. See? You're thinking that you have to come up with it. No. God daily loads you down with benefits. If he's going to come in and take up his abode, he's going to then cause you to go to a different place in your thought life. He's going to elevate your thought again, not out of pride, but rather out of honor. See? And all the rest of Mephibosheth's life, he ate at the king's table. I mean, you do know that as he's eating at the king's table, there was no need for him to prepare the meals anymore because the king didn't eat food that he cooked. He ate food that was cooked for him. Come on, Matt. He's going to come and live where you are. So he's going to bring a slice of heaven down to earth, if you would. And everything that worships and serves him is now going to be able to serve you because he's blessing you by his presence. Now, I'm not talking about a goosebump. I'm talking about an altar in the things of life for you. He's going to take you from glory to glory. That's what it says in Psalms 91 at the end. And I will show him. I'm going to display to him. I'm going to reveal to him my salvation. Okay. I'm just trying to get this into our thinking. He did not say, and I will give him a glimpse of salvation. He said he will display it. He will show him his salvation. So in the first 27 times that I saw it, I might not understand it. He's going to keep showing it to me until I understand it and become accustomed to living it. Amen. There's the difference. See, they that know their God, those that are intimate with their God, not those that just visit on Sunday, go to church once a week. This is for those that decided that since God is going to live here, I'm going to allow him to live here. You'll never have to go. You can stay here forever, Jesus. He said, well, I'll make my abode here. I'll change things from the inside out. I'll give testimony and witness that I... Okay, you do remember that when Peter and John were arrested, that it said that the men that arrested them took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. In my life, Are people able to take knowledge that I have been with Jesus? Or am I still living a life of barely get along because I didn't know that he wanted to make his abode with me? Not become comfortable in whatever state I was in. He wants to elevate me. Again, it's not out of pride. It's out of honor. See? That's what it says, Jesus. Turn over there, Psalm 91, just so you can see the end of it. Just so you can see the end of it. These are the promises that are there. I didn't write these. I didn't ask you to turn to in my Bible to Psalm 91. I'm asking you to turn to your Bible in Psalm 91. Okay? It's your Bible. This is verse 14 and following. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will, God speaking, because he decided that he wanted to love me, I will deliver him. I will do what? I will set him on high. It did not say I will leave him in the doldrums. It said I will set him on high. Because he have known, become intimate with my name. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I give you. What you ask, that's what I'm going to do. Because he have known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. And circle it, underline, highlight, honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. I will put it on display. I will roll out the rich. I will cause him to be removed from trouble and anguish. He said, I will deliver him in trouble. I'm not going to leave him in trouble. I'm going to deliver him. The way I understand deliverance, that means I have to be taken from one place and given and taken to another place. That's what deliverance is. When the mail is delivered, it left the post office and they brought it to your house. If they don't bring that mail to your house, it was not delivered. It was held, but it wasn't delivered. Delivered is a transfer from one place to another. He says, I'm going to honor him. I'm going to show him my salvation. Blessed be the Lord that daily loads us down with benefits. This is just what the word says. I'm not trying to twist it. I'm not trying to manipulate it. That's flat out what it said. Did I read anything into the scripture that was not in black and white in your Bible? Amen. I did not. I simply read what was there. Obed-Edom did not do anything except invite God in. And God then changed Obed-Edom's life. See, everything that he had, everything that appertaineth unto Obed-Edom, God caused it to prosper. He's the God of increase. See? And because he wants us to be able to enjoy good at his hand. He wants us to do that. See? And so then as you begin to function in that, then you get to enjoy the full presence of God. He's bringing everything with him. Does it not say in Psalms 16:11 that run it over. That's for you in Psalms. Just go back to 16. Listen to what he says. In the last verse says, thou wilt show me the path of life. Why? Because in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. This is what has been on his back all from Jump Street. In the presence of God, he said, there is fullness and pleasures and enduring pleasures. Transferable pleasures. Said he wanted to show you these things. He wants to display them in your life so that people will then know, according to Deuteronomy chapter 29, come on, y'all, chapter 28. I'm just trying to just look at it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Again, I'm not trying to write things in your Bible or make something happen that shouldn't be happening. This is just what he said. Starting at verse 1, 28. And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above the nations. He did not say he will set you on high after there are no more nations. This is some ham where I am, some steak on my plate. This is not some pie in the sky. He wants to show himself strong. I will set thee on high above all the nations. Okay, again, just in case you thought I missed it, read the next three words. The nations of the earth. He did not say the nations in the heavens. Of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee. If thou hearken to the voice of the Lord, blessed shall thou be in the city. Blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. All of this stuff is in the earth, isn't it? The fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket. That's your bank account. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shall you be when you're going out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way. They shall flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command his blessing upon thee in thy bank account. I didn't write this, y'all. I am giving you an understanding. Where do you store stuff? Back then they had barns. Except farmers, we don't use barns. But we do use bank accounts. He's going to say it right here. Just a minute, I ain't got to say it. Watch this. In thy storehouses, there's an S there, and in all thy setteth thine hand to do, and he shall bless you in the land. So this is not talking about heaven. In the land where the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord will establish thee a holy people unto himself. Okay, just so we get this. He's going to establish you as a holy people in the land. Is this correct? Not in the heavens, in the land that he swore unto thee, if you keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. And it says in verse 10, and all the people of the earth. God wants to prove these things in your life. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. Do you need goods in heaven? Didn't think so. And in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land, not after the land, in the land. that the Lord swore to their fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open his good treasures unto thee, the heavens to give rain unto your land. He's going to open the heavens so that your land will be a land that's completely prosperous. To give rain unto thy land in its season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt, now help me out now, to let you know, we're not talking about a pie in the sky. And thou shalt lend unto many nations. Why would I need to lend anything to somebody in heaven? They are in the same place of fullness that I'm in. Amen. And thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. If thou hearken to the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe to do them. See, there's just a different place when you decide that you're going to find out the who rather than the what, when, where. See, we've been asking the wrong question. If I have the right intent, I'll get the right results. Okay, that's what we're looking for in the land. Because then people will come and they will ask you, how is it working for you? And you will be able to say, because I hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord my God to observe to do all that he told me to do. I'm no longer going to try to do some of the stuff. I'm going to submit myself wholly unto the Lord. And I'm going to be obedient in all things. I'm going to let God do what God wanted to do. This was his intent. Please look at it. He didn't say, and if you want me to do this, I'll do this. He said, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord, this is what I want to do. I will bless you. I will have all these blessings come upon you, and they will overtake you. You'll be blessed coming in and going out, in the city and in the field. Every place that you turn around, blessing follows you so that you can then do what I ask you to do. You can then lend to many nations and not borrow. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth so that he can establish his covenant upon the earth. He wants to do that. He wants people to be able to come to a place where relationship catapults you into your destiny. Not where me getting money by borrowing the money is going to take me into bondage. Because the borrower is servant to the lender. Because you can lend, you have the ability to give the money away. Because if you give with a cheerful heart, God will make sure that it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That you'll have more than enough. To meet your needs, you will be the one that becomes the supply house. That people will come to the church because the church has answers and presence. Amen. They've a lot of times come to the Word of God because it has answers, but you're supposed to get presence also. Because he's supposed to be with you. That's his middle name. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, beloved, he's wanting so much more to put in us so that he can do what he intended to do through us. I am not asking you to go after God for things. I'm asking you to find God, and the things would then bless you. All of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Goodness and mercy is following me. They chasing me down. I'm not chasing any blessing. I'm supposed to seek the Lord with all my heart, with all my might, with all my strength. See? Because as I do that, he will then display his loving kindness in my life, and that will draw people. And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It's going to be very difficult for you to draw all men unto you when you broke like everybody else. You're going to have to be able to make a statement, and that statement has to be the result of active faith that pleases God because you love him, not because you need things. Because if you're going to go after for that, the right intent gets the right results. See, I'm not teaching you or asking you to try to pimp God. You can't, because you can't fool him. But when you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, then things come upon you and overtake you. He will take up his abode, and he will live with you. And just because of his presence, it changes everything. Yes, you will be a holy people unto the Lord. You will not be unholy because you found that the flow of God causes the blessings of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. You will not be unholy in this process. You're going to find the truth, and the truth causes liberty. That I'll be able to serve God, and God then gives increase. I'm not serving him for increase. That's lust. Flat out, period, cannot avoid it. And lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. So I am not teaching, saying, or thinking that. But we're all going to have to get to the next level in this thing, because they are coming looking for answers and presence. Not presence, not gifts, presence. The thing that makes God, God. The thing that makes me know I'm in God's presence. Not the thing that makes me know that I'm in the place where riches are. No, I'm in his presence. Because there are things that we're going to need answers for that money will not get. Money can't reach it. I have heard of a lot of filthy rich people that died in their sickness and disease. All the money they had could not change the effect that sickness and disease had on their life. But when I have the presence of God, amen, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand. Don't take whatever's in his right hand and throw it away. In his presence is fullness and. He wanted them connected. Otherwise, he wouldn't have put the and there. So there's so many things that we have to begin to unravel in our thinking and say, okay, God, your word says this. So cause me to walk in the truth of that without being lustful. Cause me to walk in that. Cause me to learn humility, because you resist the proud, but you give more grace to the humble. Cause me to learn how to walk in that, Lord. Cause me to see that. Cause that to be the same thing that Jesus did. Let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus, who didn't think it was robbery to allow the blessing of God to be there, to be equal with God. To have God live in my house. Take up his abode in my house. And then show me how to live rightly. How to divide the word of God. How to be a storehouse for those that are lost, destined to death, and turn their situation around, because the life, The spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus causes them to be free from the law of sin and death. God's waiting on you. He's wanting you to be able to be a testimony. He wants you to have a voice in the earth, because there is evidence in the relationship that you have with God, that he changed you, spirit, soul, and body, that he changed you. You are one that was walking around looking for the pitcher, and now you're the one that has the pitcher, and you dispense the water. When you started, you were the man that was looking for the blessing. Now you're the man that releases the blessing. A mature Christian would be able to do that. Because God loves a cheerful giver. So he wants you to be able to give to seven, yea, even to eight. He wants you to be able to disperse, yes, sir. He wants you to be able to disperse the same grace with the power that he, because we stand in this grace. Amen. We stand in it. So let's learn how to live in it. Let's learn how to function in it. Let's learn how to display it the way God displayed it in Jesus. Oh, it's our time, body of Christ. We've got to grow up in him so that we can allow the flow in the earth that he wants to have present. He needs that flow. His people, the ones that he loves, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He wants them to know about his goodness. He wants them to experience his grace, and we are the conduit for that grace. The works that he did, shall we do also? He fed 5,000. He fed 3,000. He stopped death and grief in its tracks. But we're gonna have to grow up to those same positions of heart. See, when I have the right intent, I'll get the right response. He wants to show himself strong in my behalf. When my heart is able to grow to the point where he can then flow to others, I will be able to answer the question of where were you when I? See, if the people are in prison, they're going to need the money to get out and the life-changing experience that must come after you've been incarcerated. Those that are hungry are going to have to learn to go to God, trust God, so that they can eat and then be a blessing. Because he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. We have to train them that you can't just eat your seed. You're going to have to learn to hear, how do I cause this to last forever? How can I give and then enjoy the, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over? See, these are questions that we are going to have to ask and answer. You can't get the answer until you ask the right questions. When I ask the right questions, then I'll get the right answers. If I'm always asking the question, what about me? I haven't asked the right question. Because Jesus did not make for himself any reputation. So he didn't ask the question, what about me? The question that he asked was perpetually, what about them? What can I do to get into their heart the things that will affect the whole earth? Because you love the world. And you will use us to get to the world because we bring answers from a transformed life. The choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we bless you for your word. Thank you for drawing us into your presence, where we can then begin to understand fullness, that we can walk in it and then display that fullness to those that are empty, that we would be able to pour out of our lives the things necessary for them to be drawn unto you, to submit then unto you, because they see goodness is what has drawn them to the place of repentance. Not because of a conviction of our thinking of their sin, but as a conviction of living without you. Thank you, Father, that becomes our construct of life, that we would want to give to live, and that by giving, we honor you. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor, committing it to you as done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I want to thank you for participating in the ministry tonight. So then if you have any questions or comments about the ministry, I'm going to go ahead and allow you to share that. So I want to turn the mic over to area call 404-453-2953. Area code 404-453-2953. You have the mic. Any questions or comments on the ministry tonight? Go ahead. Go ahead. Any questions or comments on the ministry tonight? Yes, you have the mic. 453-2953. All right, again, we thank you for being on the call and believe God that it's been a blessing to you. Area code 404-552-4742. Go ahead, you have the mic. Amen. Thank you. I thought I was more exciting than that, but that's okay. And I do laugh about that. I do laugh because, I mean, Lord Jesus, there has been times and time again. I don't know what your everyday looks like and how much fatigue that places into your life. And I'm just going to believe God that because your spirit is alive and hears the word, that it would impact lives in such a way that we would be able to pay full attention to the word of God at all times. So, again, I thank you for being on the call tonight. I'm still trying to see what I'm going to do for next, because we're in the holiday season and a lot of people are going out of town and all of those things, and I'm not going to create bondage of what a holiday would do. I'm just going to come and share with you the uncompromised word of God so that you can impact your life for change and find out the things that God wants that are better for you on a day-by-day basis. So until the next time when we can gather together in his presence, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. If this message has been a blessing to you and you are so moved by God to give a donation, then you can go to livedeliverance.com and go to the donate tab, and you can give there, and we will be agreeing with you and believing God to honor your faithfulness and your gift and multiply the increase in your life. So until the next time we're gathered together here, this is Pastor Steve Lee blessing you with the grace of God. Amen. Be blessed.